Recently, I sat down with Mike House for a conversation that's still sitting with me today. Mike spent 20 years teaching survival training in some of the toughest conditions you can imagine. And now, like me, he works with leaders navigating a different kind of uncertain terrain. If you haven't heard the conversation with Mike, I'll put a link in the show notes. You can check that out. Well worth it. Mike and I were talking about mentoring, and Mike said something that I really liked. He said, mentoring is any interaction that has the possibility of a disproportionate, long-lasting impact. Now, think about that for a second. Any interaction, not a formal program, not a monthly calendar booking, not saving everything up for a big developmental conversation. No, it's any moment where you notice something worth naming and then finding the courage to say it. And what struck me most in that conversation was this. I reckon we've made mentoring too formal, too time intensive, and to be honest, too heavy. I reckon we think it requires an hour blocked out in the calendar. We think it maybe we need to be the guru with all the answers. And because of that, we miss those moments that actually matter. And Mike shared a great example for when he was in high school. A kid that was a lot younger than him stopped him on the steps one day and said, Mike, I'm not really sure who you are. That's it, one sentence, and took maybe 10 seconds to say. But it became this turning point that shaped how Mike shows up in the world decades later. And I reckon we've all got one of those moments, right? A time when someone said something, asked something, or reflected something back to us that changed how we see ourselves or the work we're doing. And I've had plenty of those moments. You know that? It's almost like when you've heard it, you can't unhear it. One of those moments. And the question I reckon we need to ask ourselves, particularly if we're in leadership roles, is are we creating those moments for others? Because here's what I'm increasingly convinced of. If you're serious about leading lasting impact, about creating organizations that don't depend on you being the hero, then mentoring isn't really a nice to have. It's actually how you build systems that think without you, adapt without you, and continue creating value long after you've moved on. Mentoring, in other words, is how you make yourself dispensable. And it's not a program that you roll out once a year. It's a muscle that you develop. It's a practice that you hone. It's a way of noticing what's happening around you and choosing to engage with it in a way that grows others' capability. So in today's episode, I want to give you something really practical, not theory, not the corporate version of mentoring that looks good in an annual report, but doesn't really change much. I want to share five roles that any leader at any level can play to create those moments of disproportionate impact. Five ways to mentor that don't require hours of your time, but do require you to pay attention and to speak up when you see something worth naming. So whether you're mentoring one person or trying to build a culture where everyone's developing everyone else, these five roles will give you a framework to play with. It's a way to think about what's needed in any given moment and how you might show up to make a difference. And by the way, there's a handy one-pager. It's a PDF in the show notes. You might want to pause if you can and just open that, print it off, refer to it, have it on your screen as you're listening to this. Maybe make some notes as you go along. Okay, let's dig in. As we grow more experienced in our leadership, I reckon it becomes more likely that we'll be asked to mentor others. And the more senior we become, the more evident it becomes that we need to shift our focus from being the go-to hero with the answers to becoming the leader who creates the conditions for others to step up and lead. But how do you do that? What even is mentoring? Well, you probably know that it's more than just telling people what you've achieved and how you did it. I used to think that. What does it actually take? Because my own challenge has been that there's this story that I've previously told myself that it's all about knowledge transfer, passing on my expertise and wisdom to others. Well, yeah, that's a little part of it, I reckon. But if you're serious about developing people, relying solely on knowledge transfer as a way to develop others can really limit what's possible. So we want to broaden our perspective. What if it wasn't just about being a font of wisdom, but instead it's about becoming a partner who's deeply invested in someone else's growth? Or maybe, for that matter, the growth of an ecosystem made up of people. In my work supporting leaders to learn to mentor others, I've got this simple model. It covers five roles that leaders can play and have really helped broaden the perspective. And I want to talk you through them in just a minute. Sort of what I notice is that it helps people realize that mentoring, let's remove the formal stuff. It can take all sorts of forms and you don't need to be the guru to be a good mentor. So I want to talk you through this model. Again, if you can grab the link in the show notes, it would be helpful just to have that visual if you're a visual thinker. All right, let's get into them. The first role, this is at the core, I reckon, at the heart. It's called people developer. Pretty simple language. At the heart of mentoring really is all about the work of genuine development. It's not about having the answers. It's not about fixing someone's problems. It's really about creating the conditions where growth becomes almost inevitable. And this work requires a few key behaviors, this people developer role. I'm just going to walk you through those. The first behavior is to listen deeply. By the way, Oscar Trimboli, previous episode, check his out. I'll put a link in the show notes all about the power of listening deeply and how to do it well. In essence, it's not really only listening to the words, but what sits beneath them. And it's what's kind of like what's not being said. And that often matters more than what is. If you can do that, that's listening deeply. The second behavior under people develop is all about asking questions that open up thinking. And again, I'll put a link in the show notes to four questions that transform everything. And if you can ask questions that aren't leading questions, but questions that get people to think for themselves, you know, it's that right question at the right time can really shift someone's perspective. You don't want those leading questions. It's not about opinions disguised as a question. It's more about being genuinely curious about how the other person is making sense of things, helping them think about the choices they've got and what they could be doing with those choices. That's a good framework. The next behavior is all about challenging respectfully. I think you're like a good sparring partner. You know, you can push them to test their thinking without diminishing their confidence. If they know that you're there for them and you're genuinely interested in their growth and how they're navigating messiness and uncertainty, if they can see that you're on their side, then that challenge will be received well. It's this real art, I reckon, to holding someone to account while showing that you're fully in their corner. The next one's around giving feedback that lands. And feedback that's vague or sugar-coated wastes everyone's time. The clearest kindness is honest, specific observation about what you're seeing. That's really all feedback is. I like to say with feedback, make it informational, not emotional. So just give them some information. Here's my experience of you right now. Might be something as simple as that. Next behavior is promoting accountability. This is all about helping people own their commitments, not by policing them, but by creating space where following through matters to them, not just to you. So like, when would you like me to check in with you on this? There's an accountability loop built in right there. And the final behavior under this people developer role is all about actually being yourself. You don't want to be performative. If you're performing as a mentor rather than just being present, they're going to feel that. And authenticity builds that trust that makes real development possible. I think a good analogy here is like you're kind of like a garden. You're tending a garden. You're the gardener. You can't make plants grow, but you can create the conditions where growth happens naturally. You can prepare the soil, provide water and light, remove any obstacles, the weeds, and then trust the process. That's good people developing. All right, second role, cheerleader. This is all about showing them that you back them. And people working at pace can often lose sight of their own brilliance. You know, there's this daily grind, there's this complexity, the weight of decisions, they all add up. And sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is reflect back to them what you see in them. So the things that you can do to be a great cheerleader include, number one, remind them of their brilliance. This isn't about empty flattery, you know, hot air, but genuine observation of their strengths in action. And when you see their capability that they've forgotten they have, name it. Whenever someone's done that to me, saying, you know, you're really good at that, man, that's helpful, because sometimes I'm like, oh, really? Oh, I forgot that I am. Okay, thank you. Next one, champion them proactively. You don't want to wait for them to ask for support. Speak up for them in the rooms that they're not in and open doors before they need to knock. Also, celebrate progress, not just outcomes. The journey matters much as the destination, right? It's acknowledging those hard yards that they've covered. And this helps keep momentum alive when the finish line feels over the horizon and really distant. And finally, to be a cheerleader, celebrate the success with them. Because when wins happen, we need to pause long enough to mark them properly. So can too many of us rush straight to the next challenge without really integrating what we've just achieved and also what we've learned through that achievement. An analogy here might be like you're being a witness to someone's capability. You've got this belief in them, and that becomes a mirror where they can see themselves more clearly. It's not about inflating egos. It's about counterbalancing that relentless self-criticism that often accompanies leadership and high performance. So that's the cheerleader. Let's go to the next one. Next one's called the path clearer. And this is all about making it easier to navigate the system because organizational life's full of invisible obstacles, politics and unclear processes and competing priorities and bureaucratic maze making. That's why I'm not employed. I'm self-employed for a reason. But as a mentor, you've likely walked these paths before. And you can see the trip hazards as they come up before your person that you're supporting can see them. So some things you can do here is you can remove unnecessary friction. If there's a faster, cleaner route to get something done, show them. Time and energy are really precious resources. You don't want to waste them if you can see a better way. Help them navigate that political landscape. Help them understand the unwritten rules, the competing agendas and where the real power sits versus where the org chart says it sits. You can smooth that administrative burden. Sometimes the difference between momentum and stalling is just knowing who to talk to or which form to fill in first. So if you kind of can help people get rid of that stuff or navigate it faster, you're doing a good job. And finally, a path clear is going to create shortcuts without cutting corners. So there's a difference between being expedient and cutting corners. Helping them find the former is better than them doing the latter. This is a bit like being a guide in an unfamiliar terrain. You're not carrying the pack for them, but you are pointing out where the switchbacks are coming up so they can make that climb just a little bit more easily. The mountain stays the same height, but the route getting there matters. Fourth law, door opener. This is about facilitating connections and opportunities. Because leadership and leadership development is not really just about what you know, it's about who you know and who knows you. And your network is one of the most valuable assets that you can share. What you can do as a door opener, I love that term. It's really visual, right? Open doors to opportunities. Here are some of the things you can do. Make strategic introductions. Connect them with people who can expand their thinking and open opportunities, provide perspectives that they're missing. You're going to know a bunch of people that they could probably benefit from just knowing for that reason. Also, you can create visibility. Look for chances to put them in front of the right audiences. And sometimes their career gets accelerated from being in the right conversation at the right time. Yeah. Third thing you can do as a door opener is broker opportunities. When you spot projects and roles and experiences that could stretch them in useful ways, be an advocate for getting them involved. And finally, a door opener is opening networks for your personal people that they can't access alone. So your relationships, they represent years of earned trust. And when you vouch for someone else, you're lending them your credibility. This is about being a connector. You're using your relationships and position to create opportunities that would otherwise remain invisible or out of reach for other people. This is about developing people through exposure, not just instruction. Finally, the fifth role in our five roles of mentoring is the context provider. This is about showing the bigger picture at play. Because everyone operates with only partial information. We never have the full picture. People see their slice of the organization but can miss how it connects to everything else. So you can change the altitude from which they're seeing things. This is the context provider. So things you can do here, share that strategic story. Help them understand it's not just what's happening, but also why it's happening and where it's all heading. If you can see that and share your perspective, that's going to help them. You might want to explain competing priorities. So because sometimes decisions seem contradictory or confusing, and it's often because the people making the decisions, they're solving for different parts of the system. If you can shine a light on those trade-offs, that'll be useful. You can provide historical context. If you've been around a while, you could say, well, we've tried this before and here's what's happened. And that saves a lot of time and wasted effort and helps them learn from institutional memory. You can also connect dots between different initiatives and show them how seemingly separate projects are actually part of a larger pattern or strategy. And you can also perhaps interpret leadership signals. You know, you might get the executive saying something, and you can help them read between the lines of what they're saying and understand all the implications for their particular work. So you're essentially providing a map when perhaps before they've only had a compass. They know which direction they're heading, but you can show them to the terrain, you know, what's ahead, where the rivers are, where the paths converge, and that context just transforms isolated decisions into strategic moves. So I've just given you a walkthrough of five ways to mentor others: the people developer, the cheerleader, the path clearer, the door opener, and the context provider. And together, they're like sort of like ingredients of cake, right? If you've got high quality ingredients used in the right proportion with skill and care, you can create something pretty special. So here's an invitation for you. Grab that PDF and just go through those roles, those five roles. Identify which one of these you want to focus on. Just pick one. Is it the path clearer? Is it the door opener? What's the one that you think people that you're trying to grow would need you to be most for them in this moment right now? And practice that for the next couple of weeks. Just try being that way. You know, you've got a great network, for example. So how might you use your network as a door opener to introduce people to others that would help them in their work? Notice what happens and then rinse and repeat. Keep learning, keep trying stuff out, see how you go. Another way that I've used this model is when you are sitting down with someone and you're having a mentoring type conversation, put it on the table. Say, what role do you need me to play for you here? What would be most useful? And that can give them some language that helps you to help them. Something to think about. Hope this has been thought-provoking. If you've liked this episode, you found it practical, love it if you could share it with someone else, spread the word there as well. Again, as ever, thank you to Gabby White, my practice manager, for ensuring that I get this stuff done on time, and also Kane Power for making it sound awesome. I'm Digby Scott. This is Dig Deeper. And until next time, go well.